Hello and welcome to the 153rd edition of the GoMeanGreen.com Barbershop Podcast. This is Evan.
This is Harry.
And this is Ashton. And
we are here to talk North Texas football. Gentlemen, another week, another loss, another week of hope for the future.
Yeah, I mean, this season's going to be tough, you know, and fortunately, I think this week we actually have a chance to win the game, which is nice, but besides UTSA and UTEP, you know, really, you know, those are your two shots to get W's, and I really would like to see us win. I don't want to have the first winless, you know, season in the history of North Texas happen under our watch, but it's a real distinct possibility, and so you hope that we can pull one out here.
Yeah, I, you know, a few weeks back I said it was really hard to go 0-12, and I still think it is, but it's just each week. Just hope for that just seems to be, you know, diminishing to get that win. But, I mean, this is the week. I mean, this is the one that we, you know, we really think we have a chance at this one. I think we do. And they're pretty bad. They're banged up. So, yeah, bring it.
Well, the thing is, we still got Tennessee on the schedule. We have got very few games left. We have our opportunity. We have Tennessee, we have Middle Tennessee, and we have UTEP and Louisiana Tech after UTSA. Five games left. Several of these games are not going to be easy, but we've got two opportunities there to do something.
Well, can I just say that I don't even want to watch the Tennessee game. I mean, I don't even want to watch. That is going to be a very difficult game to watch. But I will take issue with Ashton. And not that I'm picking on you, Ashton, but
you are.
I'm sitting here looking at the UTSA schedule. And, yeah, they've only won one game. But if you look at who they've played, they played Arizona and lost 42-32. They played Kansas State.
I just said we can win. That's all I said.
And they got beat pretty bad by Kansas State. But that was actually a pretty – I watched a lot of that game. It was closer than you think. Oklahoma State spanked them bad. But, hey, Oklahoma State's pretty good. Colorado State barely beat them by, like, 2 points. UTEP was their one win, and UTEP kind of stinks this year. Louisiana Tech barely beat them by a field goal, and we all know Louisiana Tech's pretty good. And then Southern Miss beat them by 22 points, but Southern Miss beat us to death. So I guess my point I'm saying here is that's a pretty tough schedule, and in the games that they, you know, that they should win, I think they sort of did win. With the exception of Southern Miss. And, I mean, Southern Miss is very improved. So I think this could be a tough game, guys. I hate to say it, but just looking at that schedule.
What game is not going to be tough when we're playing as bad as we are right now, though? I mean, realistically, they're all going to be tough. I mean, I don't think there's any guaranteed wins, and I don't think we really thought there were that many on the schedule to begin with, you know, in week one. But if you look at who's remaining, the two teams that stand out to me that are winnable, and I'm just going to say winnable, not even – close or you know, we're in every single game. The winnable games are UTEP and UTSA.
Agreed.
But I'm not going out there thinking that we're going to roll over anybody right now because we've had a rough season, man.
Well, and UTSA is out. You know, Blake Bogenschultz is out for this game, so they're going to have to play Bob Stern.
And he would have had a lot to prove this game too. That could have been interesting.
Just it could have been because he wanted to come to North Texas, and we didn't give him a
going
a
up
chance.
Against an interim coach that. Probably had a lot to do with him not coming here, if that's the case.
Exactly.
Well, UTSA's got a quarterback who wasn't even on the roster at the beginning of the season. The Bogenschultz went out. And the other two, what, they left the program?
Yeah, they had some defections.
Yeah, they had two, and so then they have the walk-on that's being the quarterback, and he's even doing decently. So UTSA is one thing. UTEP is another. They beat New Mexico State. They beat Incarnate Word. And they beat Florida Atlantic.
UTEP's our best chance at a win.
I'm going to say UTEP because they lost to Arkansas pretty handily. They lost to Texas Tech very handily. And they won in overtime against New Mexico State, putting a lot of points on the board. So I think that's our best bet. UTSA is always – you know what drives me nuts?
Losing.
Why do we hate – UTSA so bad. It always drove me nuts how much A&M hated Texas and how much Texas didn't care.
Yeah.
Okay. I don't understand the whole everybody on the hating on UTSA, all the stuff that's just really bad, like this rival. I don't get it. I just don't.
The shitty losses, though. I mean,
well, I understand
really bad ones.
Some frustration, but it's been like this since the first year we played them. I think it was the whole pay the dues because they're dirty, first of all.
They've only been playing football for 5 years.
Dirty.
And they're immediately, you know, we waited forever to get in Conference USA, and they immediately went into Conference USA. I think, you know.
Yeah, there was some soreness there because they didn't pay the dues like we did. They didn't have the years of bad seasons. So I think
they stole away the Conference USA championship game. We had a chance to be the West crown
on senior day. I mean, there was a lot of crap with that game, man. And it was just a bad game. That was the worst game we played all season, you know, without question, even worse than Tulane, where we just shot ourselves in the foot. We couldn't stop their, you know, we made their running back look like friggin' Tomlinson. I mean, it was ugly. That was an ugly game.
Dodge's players did not perform well that day.
Wow. We're going back to that. All right, so
let's dodge that topic.
Let's go back. Let's talk about last week's game. We came to this game with hopes that maybe we could see them do something. Maybe we could see them pull something out. Maybe DeMarcus could lead the team. And a lot of us feared that he wasn't going to be the be-all, end-all, change the path of this team. And that's basically what happened. He's not performing to what a lot of people had hoped he could.
He's just a little bit off. It's weird. If you watch the game.
A little bit or more than half off?
Well, I mean, it's close. It's not like he's not throwing McNulty passes. He's throwing passes.
McNulty completed more at a better percentage.
Okay, you know what? I'm
just saying. I mean, that's just true.
The thing is this team was, you know, the whole – even though the horse is lame, you got to load the cart anyway. We got to change something. And so they put him out there. At least he can run around a little bit. That gives us at least one other dimension to it. So a lot of people were hoping he could do something different, and that's what they were going with. You've got to have a spark. You couldn't keep going the way we were going. So I understand why he's out there. Now, the question is how long is he going to be able to turn into something? Is he just not going to work out ever?
I think the fact that he didn't get any reps in camp and that he was way down on the bench with Mac really set him back this season. So the last two games, you've really been seeing him adjust and basically get warmed up for the game. I mean, he's just not ready. Some of that's his fault. Some of that's the coaching staff's fault. I still feel like you look at this kid and you say, why wouldn't he starting from game one? But at the end of the day, he's not where you want him to be. That's for sure.
No, I mean, Evan, you're exactly right. We there had to be some kind of change, but there was a lot of, you know, there was a lot of argument of whether DeMarcus was going to be ready. I was on the position of I didn't think he was ready. I didn't think he was any kind of improvement, but you got to make a change. But right now he's not doing, I mean, he's.
Yeah, well, you're right. We don't have any other options.
And this might be an indictment on the roster more than it is on DeMarcus or McNulty. It's not, maybe that's not the argument. You know, and Harry and I have talked about this, you know, back and forth for a while now. It's we can sit there and say that DeMarcus is not playing well and McNulty wasn't playing well. You know, the truth of the matter is that McNulty wasn't playing well before when they had to make the change. Well, DeMarcus's numbers are worse. So if he's the next best option, that's bad. We can all agree that that's not a good thing, and we're not getting quarterback production where I think Canales and Mac, you know, when he was still here, they wanted it, you know, at all. And again, what's the solution there? Everybody's got their own opinion.
So do you think we should put McNulty back out there, or we should just stay the course?
In my opinion, there's no real reason to. And why do you backtrack now? I mean, well, McNulty's a senior. He's gone. Here's the interesting thing, in my opinion, though, is that, okay, so if DeMarcus doesn't work out that well, he's gone after next season. Greer's gone after next season. So you've got the one and the two going into next season are gone after 2016. We've got to go recruit the guy that apparently is going to be this. He's got to play next year, because you don't want – if you want – I mean, you can have him out there taking reps next season. But, you know, if we want to compete and we know that, you know, Greer is what he is and DeMarcus is what he is – what does that say for us going into the next season and just sitting there with those guys? And
I think what that means.
Bad situation.
I think what that means means.
That was, I see.
I don't think that's a solution either. I'll be honest with you. I mean, I don't think that's.
Well, why not?
I don't know. I mean, that's just. Harry just looked at me like.
I mean, what? We don't know. Is this kid that bad? I mean, he's 6'3", 6'4". He's got a big arm. He can run. I mean, I guess, you know, they've made the decision. The powers that be, Coach Canales or whoever else, but. Count me as one that hasn't given up on Connor Means yet. I've not seen, you know, enough of him to make a decision.
Connor didn't make the trip, by the way. Everybody's asking in the board. Connor didn't make the
he
trip.
He was a redshirt. He's a redshirt freshman, correct?
He's a redshirt this year. He's the second year.
So he's got three more years to play. I just don't see how
he
we
didn't
can.
Have a good camp.
He hasn't played at all. Right?
And he hasn't played at all. And I think, again, this is just one of those things where if DeMarcus was not starting over McNulty for a reason. There was because he was not ready yet. If Means isn't starting and we're still playing bad at the quarterback position, then there's a reason. And again, it might not be about Connor not being good and is that a bad recruit? Whatever. I don't know. I mean, that's not what I'm saying. It's the fact that
I guess what you're saying.
That we're well. I mean, it may just be a roster issue. I mean, we may not have the guy on there. So I don't like to keep going back and saying, well, let's get Shambor out there. Let's get Cousins. Let's get Means. Those aren't solutions.
Connor. If you're listening out there, I want you to keep the faith and understand that there will be a new time and a new coaching staff that will give you a fair shake, and you will be given a chance to show what you can do.
Now we're on the Connor train. Like 3 weeks ago, it was DeMarcus. Now everybody wants to see Connor. I just love how we just go back and go. It's the next guy. It's whoever we don't know. That's who everybody wants to see. And now people are off the DeMarcus bandwagon when they were pining for him. 4 weeks ago.
Officially, I'm not off the DeMarcus.
I'm not saying you in general. Yeah. I'm just saying, like, you know, just look at the board, you know. I think Adman posted something that was pretty funny and kind of trolled a little bit. That was, he's exactly right. You know, everybody was pining for Smith, and now he gets a free pass at being not very good and not putting up good numbers. I don't understand that, I guess.
I heard it was because Connor was for the banner. I'm not saying that's for sure, but...
Man, we're going to go there.
I specifically told you not to bring that up during this podcast.
I didn't hear you say that.
I didn't hear that either. I must have missed that. No, everybody's looking for something. You know, McNulty's not working out. We couldn't be this bad. Wins. What's next? If Greer's not going to work, what's next? Okay, DeMarcus, that's who needs to be.
Let's just talk about the quarterback.
Because that's where it all starts and ends right now. This is where it's all started and ended for the past years, besides the year where Tomlinson sold his soul. Thompson sold his soul. That was the only year that we have anything to hang our hat on. And so we're always looking for that one walk-on, like UTSA's got a walk-on guy that's doing decent. Why
can't we get that? Why can't we have that?
Why can't we get a guy that we recruited who was a highly sought-after recruit to play half that game?
That, my friend, is why this coaching staff is interim right now.
For the second time.
He said staff.
Staff, not just Canales.
Like an infection.
Sorry.
But for the folks on the board that keep bringing up, hey, why not give Mike, you know, he seems positive. Hey, I give him all the credit in the world, and I appreciate what he's doing. He's doing a good job with a tough situation. But that's exactly why Mike Canales cannot be the head coach here, is the quarterback evaluation has been terrible.
Right, and it is a tough job, and Canales seems to be saying all the right things. He's down there. You saw him at the last home game. He's down there pumping up the guys. He's doing all he can to try to get them fired up from what we see. Now, and that's a tough situation to be in.
I wasn't here last week, obviously, so the podcast was probably way better. But, you know, I was in the locker room. I was on the sidelines for the Western Kentucky game. I mean, he's fun, man. I mean, he's getting the guys – you know, pumped up to play. Now, we're not, you know, we played two good teams, but I don't think that we're going to go out there and just roll UTSA this weekend. I think we got a good shot. But I like watching Canales because his positivity is pretty, it's fun to watch, and it's exactly what this team needs right now. They need to get pumped up. They need to get some new life. They need to try to, you know, have some confidence. And
And it's got to be tough because Canales knows that he's done at the end of the season. He's got to go somewhere else, but he's still got to come to work every day and get everybody fired up and act like that this is the big one and these are the big opportunity. But he's done. I mean, there's no way around it. So obviously, coaches that are coming up, the coaching, we've seen a lot of names being thrown around out there. We've seen a lot of information on who could be it. We've got some interesting new Twitter followers. It makes you wonder. There's a lot of things out there right now. What is your feeling right now?
I think it's still up in the air. I mean, obviously, until the season's over, every time a coaching job opens up, it changes the whole dynamic of this thing. So today we found, or yesterday, whatever, Minnesota's head coach is going to retire because of health reasons. Well, guess what? There's another school with basically more resources in a bigger conference than us that is out looking for the best guy. So every time, you know, my guess, we were at 7, now we're at 8. My guess is we're going to be probably somewhere between 12 and 15 before this whole thing's done. And the fact of the matter is, you may have a guy in your sights that you really think would be a great fit here, but until all the jobs play out and you know, if you're a coach out there that's highly sought after, you're going to want to go to the place that pays you the most money and gives you the best chance to win. Now, the one thing I will say about this that benefits North Texas, not every coach out there wants to go into a pressure cooker job. Not everybody wants to go into a job where they could get fired in 2 years if things don't get going in the right direction. So I do think that there is a opportunity for us to say, hey, you know, we're going to give you a few years to get this thing on track and build it back up again. And you just got to try to find a guy that's looking for a place to jumpstart to a bigger job.
You know, we talked about the Minnesota, you know, situation just now. My take is, are we going to really compete against the schools like Minnesota for a coach? I mean, are we going to really going to – is it ever going to come down to some of these bigger job openings, USC and South Carolina? We're not competing with those guys. Yeah, we're not competing with those at all.
I think you're misunderstanding what I'm saying.
No, I'm not saying you. I'm just saying in general, people keep talking about the opening of jobs, but in my opinion, we're not on that level to where we're not competing with Minnesota. So the Minnesotas of the world, they're going to be looking at certain guys that we may be looking at, but we might not have a shot to bring in unless we just pay them an exorbitant amount of money, which we don't have.
I think, you know, I think where I'm coming from is that let's just take Willie Fritz. I mean, Willie Fritz is the biggest name on the board. He is a head coach at a FBS school right now, and he has been very successful there at Georgia Southern. He before that was at Sam Houston, where he took them to two national championships and recruited all kinds of Texas players. He's got a great track record. He's been successful everywhere. I think he's 55-ish, somewhere like that. He's a name that comes up not just for North Texas but for other jobs too. If you're Willie Fritz and you look at North Texas and say, hey, I'm interested in that job, but then all of a sudden the phone rings and it's Minnesota, well, guess what? Now he's interested in Minnesota. And as these other jobs open up, I mean,
happened before. It happened during the last coaching search. I know of a couple of names. Yeah. We've seen that.
I mean, Dan McCarney, honestly, was probably not North Texas's first choice. But that's just the way the cookie crumbles. That's why I said on the board, you know, a lot of times it's better to be lucky than good in these coaching searches, because there could be a really highly qualified guy that you end up landing because of the way the ball bounces.
It depends on what you're looking for, too. Dan wasn't probably on a lot of other schools' radars back in 11. There he was, or whenever he got hired. Was it 11? That was his first season.
2011 was here. Yeah.
Okay. Excuse me. So I just wonder, you know, what the direction that we're going, we need to be sure to be finding the guy that there's a mutual interest for, but we also want. We settled for Dan. I think he was the right guy at the time because we needed some kind of stability. We needed somebody to come in and kind of right the ship. And he had that mentality with the experience I think we needed at the time. But now we're not – I don't think we're in that same situation. Now we need to kind of totally flip the script.
Well, I know a lot of people were excited about McCarney because they saw McCarney coming in as having the experience – having a
national
name,
championship,
a name where he could come in. He didn't want to get a job and stay 2 years and then move up again. He was at that age where he'd come in, could stay a while to build up a good name and kind of right the ship and everything. And that's what we were excited about. We weren't looking at some young guy who's going to be 1 or 2 years and then out the door when he got a couple of wins and somebody came calling. We felt there was some stability there. And now we're just we need something quick.
Does anybody does anybody really care now if a coach jumps ship in 4 years? Three years? No, I don't think anybody does. We just want something for to just get us back to mediocrity. Yeah. For God's sakes, like, let's win some games. Like, we haven't won a freaking game yet.
You're as a recruit, though, you're also looking, are you going to come play for this coach? Is he going to be here 2 years and go? Because that's his path.
To a certain extent, you're right. But I think if you just look at college jobs across, I mean, just the college coaching game has become such a burn and churn. I mean, it's such a fast-moving, younger. I mean, I think that's why when RV says, I'm looking at a younger offensive-minded, I mean, the younger thing is, gosh, man, this game has gotten so stressful. I mean, you almost need to have that energy to come in and be successful at it. And recruiting, man, that's a tough, you know, that's probably the biggest shortcoming in Mac's, you know, career at North Texas was the whole recruiting thing. But let's be honest. I mean, recruiting's a tough gig. I mean, you're traveling all over. Now, I know, Ashton, you took some recruiting visits out on the road and things of that. So you know more, you know about it. And it's not easy to get out on the road, go to all these high schools, meet with all these players. You're going to get told no more than you're going to get told yes. And so you need to have that mm-hmm. fire, that drive, you know, to be successful, I think, to be successful in recruiting.
I think that Dan was a little bit late on getting the right staff involved. I think right now he's got a good recruiting staff. Young guys, LaMarcus Hicks and Perry Carter, you know, being African-American can sometimes relate better to certain guys. Just that's just the way it is. Tommy Perry's young. Kevin Patrick's got great credentials in terms of where he played, who he knows, all that kind of stuff. I think our last two recruiting classes have already churned out guys. I mean, if you look at our roster right now, the most productive players on our team are on our last two recruiting rosters, or I'm sorry, recruiting classes. Unfortunately, those classes aren't deeper, and there isn't more of them. But there is the Jeffrey Wilsons, the Tigori's doing some things now. You've got Roderick Young, who's really starting to make a name for himself. If DeMarcus Smith does anything, that was last year's class. Trevor Moore, you know. There's players that are coming out. Nate Brooks is really showing something. He's looking really good right now. I mean, it's kind of sad in a way that if Dan finally found something that worked and was shown the door, and if he had that staff finally in place where the recruiting had gotten better. I mean, we heard Perry at the beginning of the season in that interview that I brought in. He said that he saw a change in the perception of North Texas in the past year, even after the bowl win. So the year after the bowl win. So I think that's kind of interesting. And I just wonder if we've got some of the right people in place, not as its entirety, but if we have some of the right people in place, we have some of the right recruiters in place, and you know we may lose them, and then we may lose some recruits in the process, people that we already have, or you know, committed, you know, verbally or just whatever. And you know, I don't know. I mean, that remains to be seen. So we'll have to see how that plays out. But I do think that he finally did find the right recipe, but it was a little bit too late.
He just didn't have the ingredients.
Except at quarterback. at quarterback.
Without question.
He
I'm not
was
gonna...
missing the eggs, milk, and flour in that one. All right, so.
Evan's so mad.
What are. I'm not
so mad. Beat down.
Dude, we've been doing 153 of these with one winning season. I got skins. All right. What other names have been thrown out there?
You know, the young offensive coordinators. I mean, Sonny Cumbie at Texas Christian is a guy that a lot of people like a whole lot. Doug Meacham's a little older, but very well-respected guy at TCU. You still hear Kendall Briles' name out there. And, I mean, I know he's really young, but the kid – won Big 12 Recruiter of the Year, you know, a year ago. I mean,
I've heard something about Kendall, by the way, and, you know, this is just through the pipeline, that he's not really interested in leaving Baylor anytime soon. And I don't really know why he would. I mean, he's got kind of a cush job playing for his coaching for his dad, and his resume is just going to grow and grow and grow if they keep putting up 50-plus a season, you know, per game. He might want to hold out a little bit and get, frankly, a better job down the road and get a couple years under his belt. So I'm hearing that he doesn't really want to leave Baylor, but that just could be trying to drive the price up a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, you got Major Applewhite at Houston is another name that's been out there. Obviously, the Coach Herman at Houston is going to get some big-time offers. I mean, they're undefeated in the top 25. Will he leave Houston? Will he stay another year? He's only been there a year, you know. So there's a lot of different scenarios. There's a lot of darn good coaches. That's the thing, Evan, that's so hard about this, is if you try to compile a list, I mean, you're literally working on probably at least 30, 40, 50 names. I mean, there are a lot of really good coaches, up and coming, some more mature that have been some places. You know, it's just one of those things where, you know, there's a lot of good options. I actually am very optimistic about this hire.
What's your what's the name you like so far, Fritz?
No, I don't. I don't hate it, and if he was hired, I'd be all for it. But I think I would lean more towards a coordinator, younger coordinator hire at a successful program. Fritz is 55, so I'm not saying that's old, but I think, to me, I think we need the energy, and I'm really interested in a guy that can relate to players and parents. I think that's where Mac's got such a great, you know, history and everything else, but at the end of the day, was Mac really, you know, when Mac was doing his spiel with the parents and the players, was it really working? I don't know. I would like to have someone at the top of the program that could really be attractive to players and their parents from a recruiting perspective. And in the offensive philosophy, I'm not totally sold on that. I think you could be a good defensive coach and bring in an offensive coordinator, but I do feel like, you know, I like Major Applewhite. I think the guy is a folk hero in the state of Texas, and I think he would be, you know, you talk about the Todd Dodge hire. I mean,
yeah, it does scream of Todd Dodge, kind of in a way. It's that young, exciting, but the difference is that he's coaching in college right now, and he would probably go out and get experienced coaches with him. Or he might even keep a few of ours.
Well, let's talk about the Todd Dodge thing. Don't forget, when Dodge came in, we got recruits and people looking at us that never looked at us before. Applewhite would definitely bring that same kind of name recognition and kind of an instant credibility to the school, the position, and get people looking.
I love it. And I would tell you this. You've got to hire the problem with Todd Dodge is we can't repeat. And that is you have to bring in whoever this younger offensive coordinator guy is. We have to be very upfront with him that this isn't going to be, hey, bring in your young buddies to come do this thing. We want experienced coaches around him, and we want to have guys that can help him, because he's going to be on a learning curve if he's young, that can help him to minimize the mistakes. And see, that's what Dodge didn't have, you know. When we played Oklahoma and they ran up the score 70 points on us, Ron Mendoza kept going man-to-man coverage. You know, Ron Mendoza was a high school coach. You know, he'd never coached in college before. We can't have that this time around.
No, I get a feeling there's a dark horse candidate out there that we have no idea about, and we keep talking about these five or six guys, and they're not even on – they might not even be on – we might not even be on their radar. Sorry, that took a while to get out. We might not even be on their radar at all. Major Applewhite might not give two shits about coming to North Texas to coach. I mean, he may not at all. We have – it's pure speculation, and we kind of just keep focusing on these four or five, six guys. And I think that we were kind of talking about it a little while ago. I think we should focus more on the type of person we want, not maybe the name. You know
I agree, because
I mean?
You know what? Dan McCarney, nobody knew that McCarney
was
even
that,
being
right?
considered. Now, when we found out what his track record was and we learned who it was, I think we got on board. But I think you're totally right, Ashton. I think it could be very well that we don't ever know who this guy is until it gets announced that he's accepted the UNT coaching job.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And I hope that means that our staff is and the committee and the search firm or whatever it is and RV are doing their due diligence, and they're going out there and they're vetting tons of people. I hope they're even going to the FCS level. I hope they're going all around. You know, I mean, why not? We've got nothing to lose right now, and Evan, you asked us who we wanted. What kind of coach do you want to come in? Let's get your opinion on this type of coach. Maybe not person, but just like type. Are you on board with the?
I want a young guy that gets drunk like Daryl Dickey. Daryl Dickey can recruit like Dodge.
This is why I asked Evan's answer.
And has the persona of McCartney. Oh, and the lack of control like Matt Simon.
God, that's so great.
Interesting.
You should have seen the look on his face while he was giving us his answer. That was the best part.
You know, honestly, I want to see what's available, and then I want to see what's out there, because honestly, I don't know. I mean, we've seen who's come in, we've seen what we've had. You know, I can remember yelling for Dickey to throw the ball because he was running it up the middle, but then I can remember wishing we had that stable of quarterback later on. I don't really know. I just want a productive, successful program, and I think that every year that changes on what could produce that. But whoever it is, regardless of what kind of offense we run, regardless of what kind of defense, I want a quarterback.
I agree with Evan, but let me add this too, because I know I sound like a broken record, but I want a recruiter. I want...
Who recruits quarterbacks?
That just recruits.
Who was our last good recruiter? Kenny Evans?
I think he was at the top of the list. I mean, given the resources we had.
John Sclodany?
And remember, guys, everyone keeps bringing up, we've had decades of losing seasons and everything else. Remember, until 2011 is the first time we had all our shit in order, okay? We're moving into Conference USA, or close to it. We had Apogee built. We had the Athletic Center built. We were paying a decent salary, a decent wage for the first time forever. So when everyone keeps bringing up, whoa, we've had all these – hey, keep in mind, we've really started playing the game by the rules in 2011. And we made a mistake on Dan McCartney. But I think this is a perfect opportunity here to right that mistake. And, I think we have a lot to offer. I mean, I really do. I think that we can bump the salary up a little bit and be right near the top of Conference USA. We got the best facilities in Conference USA. We got the best location in Conference USA. I think those are
And we're going to offer a good salary. We're not going to be – we're middle of the pack, closer.
No, we're in the top two.
Right. We're up there. Are we top two? I thought we were like top four.
I was told we're in the top two of Conference USA right now.
All right, some of you guys in the chat room.
Coaching salaries right now?
That's head coach and assistants.
Somebody pull those up. But, yeah, with this new hire, we definitely should be up in there. There's no way that we shouldn't. And we've got the donors. We've got a group. We've got the – facilities. There's no way we should be able to be there.
I'm just saying, you read these articles and everyone keeps saying, well, you know, North Texas is a coaching graveyard and everything else. The point I want to make is, yes, it has been. But if you really look at behind the curtain, until 2011, we were not funding this program to the point that we needed to.
Correct.
And that makes a huge difference when you're trying to get a good coach. Does he want to come somewhere where he can't pay the best assistants? No. So I'm just saying, don't underestimate the position we're in and the interest. I will tell you right now, I think there's a lot more interest in this job than people give it credit for.
I think that's the thing that I'm trying to wrap my head around. I just would be surprised if there's as much interest as you just kind of alluded to. And now I'm not saying you're wrong. I hope you're right. I don't know. I mean, when you're at the bottom of so many categories and, you know, a location and the conference you're in and the hotbed of recruits that you're in, all that stuff. But at the same time, when your program is really not in a good state, and I think we could all agree that we're not in a good state right now, do coaches really want to come down here?
Well, Chad Morris wanted to go to SMU.
I think he sees dollar signs there. I mean, right? I mean, we're not going to be able to pay.
We're throwing some dollar signs.
We're not paying a coach $2.5 million, though, right?
No.
Right.
But
no.
For the level of school that we're at, of the schools in the conference, we should be right at the top of the list.
I think that SMU and, you know, I think there's a difference between SMU and North Texas, you know, in terms of going there to coach. I think that not only do you see dollar signs with the salary, you see that the school can, there's more money there. There can be more money. I think that there can be newer facilities built, or Lloyd can just write a check and then bang, a new weight room or something like that. Our facilities are good, but, you know, they're not brand new anymore, and they've been maintained pretty well. But I mean, you know, they're not perfect.
Well, they're redoing some stuff.
They're redoing some stuff.
We're getting steady donors. I remember when $1 million 10 years ago for this program was earth-shattering. And then the last
game... That was what Mac gave us, remember?
Yeah, yeah. And I mean,
Mattress Mac.
Mattress Mac. That was a huge deal. That was like $1 million. Everybody was flipping out. Well, this last home game, homecoming, you know, we had the $6 million to different things, you know, yeah. the golf and all that. That's a lot of money, and there's money flowing in, and you've got people that are dedicated to make sure that the money keeps flowing.
And how about this? You know what the buyout is for Dan McCarney? It's $2.1 million.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm not Somebody excited about that. I wish we had that money to spend somewhere else, but to me, that's putting your big boy pants on.
Look at the buyouts over the past few years, too. I mean, the buyouts are like...
But North Texas has never had a buyout of that level. Never would even consider it. The North Texas of old would say, you know what? We need to keep Dan in there for another couple of years, and then we'll let him go at that point.
When we have enough money to...
And we'll take that money from the 2.1, and we'll put it towards the next guy, and that'll... You know, it's just that half-assed nature of doing things.
Yeah, it's definitely changed. The definitely has changed. But this is going to be a big hire. This is going to make... a huge statement on what we can do and where we're at. All right, what do we got here?
We got Brandon coming
on. We got Brandon coming on. Sick, yeah. Brandon?
Yes, sick Brandon. He's a little under the weather, guys, so take it easy on him.
Yeah, that's not going to happen. You know these guys. All right, so I'm going to go ahead and pause it here. For those of you living on iTunes, you won't notice. For those of you in the chat room, please just hold tight. We're going to try to mix it up here a little bit because, you know, we've talked. All right, joining us on the telephone right now is our student correspondent, Brandon. Brandon,
Barons.
I was just going to say Brandon, but I didn't know we were doing last names. We don't ever do last names for us.
Just in case you forgot.
Sorry. All right, Brandon, we're going to just go with Brandon. All right, Brandon, hey, man, I know you're under the weather, so it's been kind of a tough week up there. So how's that mono coming along?
It's not mono. My brother has mono. I got caught with some sort of stomach bug that lasted for 3 days.
Was she worth it? He didn't catch that.
He's got a girlfriend, man.
Oh, I didn't know that. I thought we were... Okay, sorry, man. All right, so tell us what's going on campus. So there was a rumor and there was a thing on the board. Somebody posted, you know, everybody's taking shots at RV, something in the student union building. Did you get verification that was actually there? Have you seen anything on campus to gauge the feelings and the mood of these students?
I work in the GAB. I worked there Monday, and it's there. It's a thing. People are, they didn't like the fact that we fired the coach, and then there's no real true knowledge as to who's going to be our next coach yet, and students aren't really liking that.
Do you have any feelings as far as what type of coach that you'd like to see replace Dan McCarney?
The feel is we generally a recruiter because like we want somebody who's going to bring in big name players. So we don't have that. Win. The main thing is like everybody's like all of our good players are walk on, and we're like, well, where's our recruitment? There isn't any. So that's what everybody's kind of wanting with a new coach.
So you're under the weather. What remind us? I mean, I'm thinking back to when I was on campus. It seems like the only time I ever got sick, I was like hungover. It was something alcohol induced. What's it like being sick and being a student? I mean, do you just hang out at the house and watch soap operas all day, or what
Netflix.
Do you do?
It's Netflix, isn't it?
Hang out at the apartment.
Drink.
Try and get by, and then I had a test on Wednesday, and that was a pain in the ass. I had a test today, actually, because today is still Wednesday. That was awful, because you can't really always find parking, so sometimes you just have to walk across campus, and that's so much fun when you're sick.
So what is the parking situation up there now? I mean, at least there was a lot of parking lots when I was there. I keep hearing that it's really, really bad.
Parking is quite possibly the worst thing on campus, possibly even worse than our football program.
Right wow. now. Whoa! Wow. Shots fired. Nice. Shots fired for Brandon.
Wow. He wrote that one down.
He did. He was waiting to have that in his back pocket.
It is the worst. Like, that's how bad parking is here. Like, we know, but everybody hates parking worse than anything else. Cause
sorry, go ahead. Keep going, Brandon.
You have a P sticker, a G sticker, or there's R stickers for, like, residents in the dorms. And there's only like two solid P parking lots one big B parking lot, which is by Fouts, and then our parking lots are spread out by the dorm rooms. So, and they don't really limit the amount of stickers for each one that it gets sold, but it gets packed throughout the day, and then there's no parking. So sometimes students are parking, like, possibly a mile away from campus or not where they're anywhere near their where their class is, or they're waiting, like, 15 minutes to find one parking spot.
Do they not have, like, a shuttle system or something that comes by that you can, like, jump in the shuttle and then they drop you off right where your class is or something like that?
We have buses, and that's about it. Like, they have the buses that run around across campus and to apartments and all that, but there's no real shuttle system that goes from parking lot to campus and whatnot. And there's the only other option really is to park in the parking garage, which is also not really near any classes as wait, well. Wait. It's like near a couple of class buildings.
So, all right, Harry, for those of us here in the room here, what are they going to do with Fouts? Are they going to tear it down? What's the latest on that?
Supposed to be. Go ahead, Harry.
No, you go.
Go ahead, Ashton.
No, you can. Isn't it supposed to? I thought it was next after like two more track seasons, right? Is that correct?
Yeah, I've heard they're going to turn it into a parking lot.
Yeah, it's going to be a parking lot after like one more track season or two more track seasons, because that's what it's used for right now.
And they'll build the new track on the other side of the highway over in Eagle Point.
Oh, yeah, that makes sense. But I didn't know if they were – are they going to put a parking garage, or are they just going to cover it with concrete, build, you know?
I don't know the details on that, but I have heard –
what a sack and save there.
I've heard from – Brandon's just the tip of the iceberg. I mean, I've heard from so many people that have kids that are students there that just the parking is – because it was bad back when I went there.
Yeah.
But you would park over there on the, you know where the fraternity and sorority houses are? There
yeah,
used
you
to
could
be
park
a big,
over there. There's a big parking yes, lot in amongst them.
And that thing was full, and you'd end up getting in the end, and you'd walk all the way across.
Yeah,
but it was still, park, it was workable.
Yeah, you'd park right up all the way to the cemetery. But there were several times I parked at Fouts, but there was always a spot between the super pit and the stadium. But now people are parking. I mean, it's full over there.
See, it just depends. Like, I was business, so it was just, I never went
all
to
business.
Fouts.
Harry's
well, no,
all business
I'm just
all the
saying,
time.
I would never park on the Fouts side. I was always on this other side because all my classes were on that side. You know
so
what I mean?
So who do you think could park better, McNulty or DeMarcus Smith?
Wow.
Definitely DeMarcus.
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 Both of them.
I mean, let's be real. DeMarcus
would,
probably
wouldn't pull in far enough. The other one would go too far.
One would park his car in the wrong spot. The other one would park somebody else's car.
Wow. All right. Well, Brandon, hey, we'll let you go. We know you're under the weather. See what you can get for us this week. Oh,
one
ahead,
quick
Harry.
Question. Are you, I know you're sick and you're trying to get better. Do you have good feelings about making the game on Saturday?
I don't, at this point, I don't think I'm going to be able to make the game on Saturday. I feel like I'm going to be just passed out by that point.
Do you have a fever?
Yeah, I have one yesterday and I've got a slight one today. I've just been drained all day.
Don't go to that student health center.
Is your girlfriend like going and getting you Gatorade and like helping you out on this one? Because that's
she's wonderful. She's been getting me everything, ramen, and she hates ramen. And she's been getting me Gatorade, ramen, ginger ale, anything that's going to make me feel even just the slightest bit better.
Well, hey, that's
to the doctor too.
That's good to hear, and we're sorry you're not feeling well, man. I appreciate you for coming on the show anyway.
Yeah, dude.
No problem at all.
Hang in there, man, and we'll catch up with you next week. Thanks.
All right.
Thank you.
Thank you for your courage, Brandon.
Your courage.
Hey, man, it sucks being sick.
Dude,
you know?
I know. When you were a student, you were
sick all year, man.
Because
football.
Yeah, the teachers didn't care. It was 400 of you in some of those classes. I didn't care.
Somebody just said firebrand. And the chat room is really making me laugh right now. There's some really bad.
I wonder what his buyout is. All right.
What's the play calling?
All right. So, Harry, we got anything else, man?
I'm going to be there Saturday. I understand you're going to be there as well, and that's nice because we get actually – you and I have got to watch some football together this season because
our families have bailed on us,
friends and family. but hey, you know I'm going out there looking for a good time. We're gonna get to tailgate. You
all
know,
right, so
Tony's gonna be
this.
Out there this
week. If it doesn't rain, there's gonna be a tailgate. I invite anybody on the board.
All 16 of you.
anybody on the board, or anybody listening to the podcast, stop by Tony's.
Yeah.
Tailgate area over there.
Right by the kiddie jump area and between Victory, right where, you know, Victory and the stadium basically intersect is kind of the best way.
Ashton, you going to be over there?
Tailgate?
Yeah.
I'm going to the SFA game this weekend. So.
Actually, Brant, Ashton's got lots of different. Ours is just a stop along the way. And then, of course, he's got the group of 17 that he has to hang out with.
Yeah, you know, like we go count our money with each other, and we just got to throw it around. No, I'm going to go out there and meet up with
him. Usually come.
Yeah, I'll come by and have a few beers and then work the camera for a little bit and get some really award-winning stuff. Nope.
He I'll tell you why he comes by. He likes Tony's balls.
God, man, that's so weird.
Tony will have his balls.
His balls will be out there, and they'll be ready for everybody to eat.
That's right. He will have them out there. I'm sure he will. And I guarantee you, Tony will not make it into the game, probably. Because the weather's good.
Well, not without his balls.
No, he'll have to have his balls.
Yeah.
Man, we've just derailed. We had sick talk. Hold on, let's recap real fast. We've had sick talk, parking talk, Tony's balls talk, little bit of football. A little bit of coaching talk.
Well, the problem is there's only been a little bit of football happening. And so that's all we can bring to the game, right? No, but seriously, for you guys, the people that are listening, and you know who you are, some of you are driving to work with nothing else to do. If you're a fan, you're listening. So for these hardcore fans.
And thank you. And thank you for that.
Yeah. Come on over to the tailgate, Tony's tailgate. It's on the board. You'll know where it's at. And come on, talk. Introduce yourself. Let's catch up. Let's just think of it kind of as a support group.
Let's put our arms around each other.
It's like North Texas Fans Anonymous.
We have our arms around each other right now.
Take the bag off your head. Let's talk. So come on out, and we'll discuss
predictions.
Where things are going, and who do you think the coach will be, and you know, all that good stuff.
Game predictions. Go, Evan.
What?
Game prediction.
Oh,
go.
I don't do game predictions. I usually ask. Go ahead, Harry.
I'm gonna very sadly say I think it's gonna be UTSA 27, North Texas 13.
I'm gonna go odd here. I'm gonna say UNT 35, UTSA 21.
Boy, I hope you're right. I hope you're right. But
I'm just throwing it out there, man. I'm thinking that maybe we can score some points.
UTSA has our number, man, and it's gonna take a new coaching staff to turn that around.
Only twice.
It's gonna take a new coaching staff.
I can't believe that you thought 35, man.
Well, UTSA is going to have their fourth string defense in the entire game, right?
No.
Oh.
That's
oh, man. Never mind.
No, I mean, seriously, I'm
that's
really
where the numbers come from.
You know what? Win or lose, I would just take a close game. Because when's the last close game we've been in?
Portland State.
I don't think we've been in a close game this whole year.
We haven't. That's the point. That's the point of all of this. That's the point of everything we're talking about today.
Can we just talk about the future?
Dan McCarty's not here because we weren't in a close game all year.
Yeah, I guess you're right.
SMU was close for a little bit.
Whoa. Yeah, the first half was pretty close.
We got ripped on the board, by the way. People said this podcast has gone down real fast.
It has.
Oh, well.
This one or just in general?
They have the right to their opinion.
Yeah, well, we could have managed it better, but, you know, let's be honest. Bad decisions make great stories. So.
That's exactly right.
All right, with that, we'll see you guys next time. Go Mean Green.
Go Mean Green.
Go Mean Green.